Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my colleague Gene Marks. He is the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, the United Kingdom edition, and the U.S. edition, as well as our hometown newspaper, The Philadelphia Inquirer, and other distinguished publications on small business, the business of America's small business. And as we reawaken from the pandemic shutdown, small business is critical for success. It's where the hiring is. It's where the startups are. And we begin with some metrics that may show that we're turning the page. Gene, a very good evening to you. The weekly hotel occupancy rate. Why do you watch that, and what is it telling us right now? Good evening.
John, it's great to speak with you. Hotel occupancy is a very, very important barometer of the U.S. economy. The travel industry is, plays a big role in economic growth of this country. So when people are at hotels, whether it's for professional reasons or personal vacations, that is very telling. So, the hotel industry does publish their occupancy numbers, and I just wanted to give you just a little sort of preview of it. Right now, U.S. hotels as of last week are about 60% occupied when compared to the beginning of the pandemic. So again, we're trying to compare apples to apples and, compared to early 2020, late 2019, and today we're still have a ways to go until hotel occupancy reaches the same levels that we saw prior to the pandemic. That's number one. What I thought was interesting though is the occupancy rate in this past week was down 15% compared to the same week in 2019. And 15% doesn't sound like a whole lot. I mean, obviously, and the people in the hotel industry would like to see, go up or be that much stronger. But when you look at it, John, and you say, listen, in the past week, just this week alone, occupancy bookings are only down 15% compared to 2019. The same week. That's a good sign.
It's more than that. It's striking, Gene, because in the spring of 2019, our economy was roaring. You recall we were on the upswing for hiring, for travel, certainly for hotel occupancy. And to come that close, well, people are just restless. So let's go to a metric you provide that may indicate there's a hesitation. This is the Las Vegas Visitor Authority for April. What does this tell us about the reawakening, at least in terms of Vegas and people enjoying themselves?
Well, it tells us this, that Vegas right now is reporting for April that not only was their traffic down 27% compared to what it was in April 2019, but they also said there was no convention attendance in Vegas at all in the month of April. But you and I are speaking now at the end of May, so I am anxiously looking forward to see what their numbers are for May, because what I'm reading and hearing from my colleagues is that Vegas is, has been reopened and meetings and events are happening in Vegas. And I think we're going to see that number significantly turn around, not only for the month of May, but I think throughout the summer and to the, to the end of the year. John, when it comes to these meetings and events, they have such an impact on small businesses, not just the associations that do these, but all of the related businesses that benefit from the travelers that come to them. And I remember, John, a year ago, it was just when they were in the middle of this whole thing last summer. All these events were canceled, and a lot of the business owners themselves, wanted to go to events, even in the middle of COVID. I heard from a lot of clients saying, listen, I'm not afraid. My father fought in wars. I can put a mask on and go to a conference in Vegas. But a lot of the events were shut down, not just for health reasons, but because the big sponsors pulled out, because large companies don't want to send their employees. They're afraid of legal liabilities. Well, that's turning around now. And even though there was no events in April in Vegas, we're going to, when we talk, when the May numbers come out, we will track this. I think you're going to see that the events jumped in May, and that they're jumping because the big sponsors, the corporations, are coming back. And if they're coming back and they're okay to send their employees back on the road, that is another big indication of recovery.
My anecdotes are from two of my correspondents, one who traveled to Arizona during the week and another who traveled to Seattle to the Glacier National Park. Both reported full aircraft and burgeoning business in the airports where they landed out west. That was especially Arizona, empty rental car lots. However, one reported that leaving from the D.C. area from Dulles, there was still a mixed picture at Dulles International. In other words, all franchises hadn't reopened. Have you seen similar between large cities and vacation or pleasure spots, Gene? Similar?
I have. In the past few weeks, I've been to Orlando. I've been to Jacksonville, Florida, and I've been to both Chicago and also to Scottsdale, Arizona, through Phoenix. The airports themselves where there's conferences are certainly picking up. They're still not as busy as they were, obviously, prior to the pandemic. It's kind of the golden age of traveling for a business traveler, John, because it's not crazy out there, like it normally is. So it's a little bit more relaxing. The biggest warning I can give to any business travelers listening to this has to do with rental cars. We spoke about this earlier. There's a severe shortage. I'm seeing empty rental car lots. You're used to seeing those lots filled with cars. They are not. People are waiting around for their cars, even people with reservations. And even using it as a backup, my reports are, and I've found experience this as well, shortages of Uber drivers and Lyft drivers are also creating headaches for business travelers. A lot of these drivers are collecting unemployment right now and have no desire to going back. And what Uber and Lyft are doing to counteract that is they're raising rates. So if you've traveled on Uber or Lyft recently, you've probably been paying more. And the reason why they're doing that is because they're trying to attract new drivers back to pay them more as well. So be aware, getting to the airport shouldn't be a big issue if you're business traveling, but when you get to your hotel, you really want to be prepared for some potential delays or problems, either renting your car or you're getting an Uber or a Lyft.
Gene is reporting our plans for going back to work. And this is not only the U.S., but the European Union as well, and that would include the United Kingdom and The Guardian. The plans are commonsensical, but at the same time, it's striking, Gene, that we've all at least accepted the idea that hybrid is next. How expansive is it so far?
Well, the big research firm Forrester did a large survey of organizations of all various sizes, although they did skew more towards larger organizations. And they're finding that 70% of the organizations they surveyed in both the U.S. and the EO are planning a big shift to hybrid work and work from home, work from anywhere. One of the many things that will come out of this pandemic is, remote working is here to stay. It is not just a, nice to have benefit. It will be a required benefit that all employers, and I mean small employers too, need to offer to their employees. The Forrester research study found that larger organizations, and that's who we're competing with, by the way, they're implementing policies to allow people to work from home as much as 2 to 3 days a week. So it's not a full virtual thing. I mean, you got to have people in the office because there's benefits to having people, collaborate together face to face. But all firms, 70% of firms are planning hybrid work benefits and arrangements with their employees. And the message to my clients and small business owners is you've got to be doing the same if you want to compete for that very short supply of good employees.
Gene, you've written a column for the Washington Times. At once, including the fact that there are lots of small business surveys that are positive, but that one must be cautious about the motives of the surveys. Do we see surveys responding to the news? Is that what's going on as opposed to what we've been talking about, which is anecdote?
What I find, John, because I cover small business and I had to write about this opinion piece, is that I get hit with surveys all the time. And, you know, and after you see this for a while, you can almost tell what the results of the survey is going to be before you even look at the results of a survey. Because there are organizations, say, that are left of center, and they have these surveys that come out that say, oh, the majority of small businesses support an increase in the minimum wage, or a majority of small businesses still need help from the federal government and want President Biden's, you know, rescue plans to be passed by Congress. And then I see, you know, surveys that come from the right where I hear, you know, different organizations saying, no, small businesses reject an increase in taxes and the majority of small businesses want less regulations and to be left alone from the government itself. And I guess my point is, John, is that when you're hearing about what the quote unquote majority of small businesses feel, none of these organizations are truly tapped into what the majority of small businesses feel. There's 30 million small businesses in this country, for God's sake. And a lot of these organizations are doing their own internal studies using SurveyMonkey or some online tools. They're surveying hundreds of business owners, which is not a fair or representative sample. And not only that, a lot of these business owners come from their own databases who are supporters of the organization. So you have to just take these surveys with a grain of salt when you're hearing about them. I know I do, and I cover small business. So don't get caught up in what a lot of these surveys say unless you really understand the methodology and the people that are publishing the results.
All right. The federal government has money. It's in hand now. And two organizations, the Small Business Administration and NASA, have money for small businesses right now.
Yeah. First of all, I'm glad you bring this up. The first one I just want to make mention is from the Small Business Administration. They just launched a $100 million grant program called the Community Navigator Pilot Program. They're offering $1 to $5 million grants to eligible organizations. Now, these aren't for small businesses. These are for organizations that help small businesses in their community. So if you're listening to this and you happen to run a nonprofit, or you're involved or know somebody else that has some type of an organization that provides services for the community that also supports small businesses in the community, the government is offering you, again, between $1 to $5 million grant to help you expand your services so that you can provide further help to people in your community. So be aware of that. That's number one. It's called the Community Navigator Pilot, and you can find it on sba.gov. The second source of funding that you just mentioned is from NASA. NASA, you know, just released this week news that they invested over $105 million in small businesses that were creating technologies that supports what they're doing. And I just have to say, guys, that, you know, listen, the federal government has so many grant programs. NASA is not the only game in town. All of the departments, from the Department of, you know, Transportation, the Department of Defense, the Department of Agriculture, are mandated to offer grant money directly to small businesses, particularly if a business is minority-owned or women-owned. So I just want to tell you, if you are working on something and want to do business with the government, it is really something that should be considered. And there's a great site called grants.gov. It's grants.gov. And if you go there, you can search around for all the available grants that might pertain to your business, and you can get help, you know, filling out the right forms so that you can be eligible for these government grants. And the $105 million grants offered by NASA is just a really good example of that for small businesses.
Gene Marks, the small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as the Philadelphia Inquirer. And we're turning next to small business in particular, especially customer complaints dating back, well, at this point, several thousand years. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.